Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's up, ladies and giblets? It's the one, the only B Train. Who the fuck else? All right, monkeys in the truck. Let's get this over with. So we're going to do a SmackDown Live review, ladies and gents. And by the way, this is the new time for Off the Rails Uncensored. Hit it, bitches. Folks, SmackDown Live results May 29th. Samoa Joe opens the show. You know it's explosive whenever Samoa Joe opens the show. Whenever he was on Raw, you notice how things got out of hand. So you see Samoa Joe promoing about how, you know, it says it's biblical that when Jacob came down the ladder, a semblance of angels was around him. He said that'd be quite different because when I get honored, you know, for bringing down a briefcase, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be no angels. It's just going to be chaos. Then Daniel Bryan interrupts, and Daniel Bryan says what he's going to do to Samoa Joe. Unfortunately, Big Cass gets involved. I will get into that later about my displeasure with that aspect of the whole thing. Should have just, you know, whatever. Shinsuke versus Ty Dillinger. Shinsuke ends up beating the fuck out of Dillinger and wins the match, and projects the 10 count out loud, which I find kind of funny because Shinsuke now has an obsession with counting to 10. That's pretty cool. Okay. Then you see AJ Styles get interviewed in the back by Renee. After that interview is over, you see in here that AJ Styles has a challenge for Shinsuke, blah, 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 blah. Dance off of Lana and Naomi. Okay, well, okay. Kind of funny and, you know, very interesting at the end. You know, this is like one more cat fight. All right, enough of the semantics. Six-man tag, The New Day versus The Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro. The New Day ends up getting the victory with Big E hitting the big ending. And then there's a promo with the Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson, and then the Bludgeon Brothers basically respond. Mandy Rose versus Asuka. Asuka taps out Mandy Rose. Then Carmella moonwalks and shows off the title. Cool, you know, face to face, tease it before Money in the Bank. Awesome. Triple threat match. Big Cass versus Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe. Very good pacing in the match. It was basic. There were a couple parts in the match what I strongly disagreed with, didn't, you know, feel strongly about. One of the, you know, tidbits here and there, you see Big Cass trying to lay some Samoa Joe. He got it, you know, he got in his bit of shine and bit of heat, basically with the audience, that is. But thank you, SmackDown Live, overall, for one hell of a show. It's like, you know, I love seeing the old NXT alumni involved. I love seeing how a lot of things are coming together. You know, some of the NXT alumni, like, not big cast, obviously. Carmella, she's doing good. Samoa Joe, obviously. Daniel Bryan's NXT alumni, whether people remember that or not. But I do recall saying thank you to SmackDown at one point in time. At one point in time, I said, thank you, SmackDown Live, for keeping it simple, stupid. Now, what, you know, in regards to Monday Night Raw, sometimes I question how the show is, and sometimes I'm just like, okay, whatever, cool. Questioning, like, okay, why was this match a thing? Why is talking for 22 minutes a thing again? And then it goes back to booking that actually, not booking, but matches that even though we've seen the same semblance of matches as fans, it goes back to me making this point. If we're not allowed to say how we feel in a factual manner and not just opinion, not bashing, just saying this is what I liked and this is what I didn't like, we're not allowed to do that, I guess, according to some of you. In some regards, I didn't say you couldn't have an opinion, but SmackDown Live, thank you, part two. That's part of the title. Also, Ring of Honor is having a triple threat match for the Ring of Honor Championship. Cody Rhodes, Dalton Castle, and Marty Scurll. I got to say, if Marty wins, great. If Cody wins, awesome. If Dalton wins, okay, cool. I've seen all three of these men on YouTube, and I've also seen them on Flow Slam matches to catch myself up. And I got to say, wow, Cody Rhodes, wow, Dalton Castle, and holy shit, Marty Scurll. Amazing talent, knows how to gauge the crowd. I'm not going to cut it short because all of you think I will just go revert back to WWE speak, which I will because that's how my show works and operates. It doesn't center around just the big fish in the market, man. There's the minnows and the sardines that sell in the cans just as well as the big fish do on the fucking market in some areas, okay, of the world and of the United States. What am I getting at? Cody Rhodes can carry the title, but I don't think necessarily, in my opinion, he needs it. Dalton Castle, great worker, can obviously, like I said, gauge the crowd, get them going, make them upset, make them cheer and whatever. Not just the booing and cheering aspect, it's the actual work. The actual work Dalton does, in-ring, out-of-ring, promo. You can be the best wrestler, right? But, there's only one Marty Scurll. And the reason I say this is because I've seen Marty. I've seen his work. I've seen his work with the Young Bucks. I've seen his work with the Briscoe brothers. Wow, that might shock you that I actually know those names, right? There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. Ring of Honor, New Japan, CZW, those wrestling groups may not be as big as a platform to the casual wrestling fan, you know, that cheers for just WWE, or the elitist that just, you know, believe that their wrestling opinions are the only ones that matter. Now, when it comes to this triple threat match, what are my predictions, you ask? I don't know. I'll wait and see. I know that they're, you know, in mayhem in Manhattan, but this is mayhem in the works because a triple threat involving Cody Rhodes. You know how well this man can work. You know exactly how well this man can wrestle. So I got to explain this to you as best I can. My outlook on Ring of Honor is like this. Yes, it is a very good way to alleviate all the stress in your life going on around because their wrestling is very intimate with the audience. You get to see firsthand how well someone can actually tell a story. And by someone, I could mean the Young Bucks. I could mean the Briscoe brothers. Hey, that means I could even mean Jay Lethal. Because Lethal is and will always forever will be the guy that's known as imitating Ric Flair in TNA. That's just, there's so many memes about it. And also, okay, in Ring of Honor, you've got an injection of Monster Factory. You've got Punishment Martinez. You've got Gabby Martinez, who actually went and trained back, you know, at the Monster Factory so she can get ready for her match. I mean, the amount of people that have come from Ring of Honor, Maria Kanellis, Mike Kanellis, or Maria Kanellis, you know, they changed names. Yes, Kevin Steen, Sami Zayn, a.k.a. Generico, Cesaro, Seth Rollins, Sasha Banks, they all came from Ring of Honor. CM Punk at one point wrestled Eddie Guerrero in 2004, I believe. So you can imagine the history of Ring of Honor. They've been in a company since 2002, which is ironic. That's the same time that John Cena entered his career. AOL 99 was OVW, but who's counting? A lot of wonderful people come from Ring of Honor. Brutal Bob, Delirious, Cheeseburger. Some of you may be rolling your eyes. You're only listing names off of Wikipedia. Okay, asshole. It's 11:51 at nighttime. Would you like to fucking do my show? Russell_radio if you have any questions, but when it's off the rails, uncensored, it's btrain05000 at Instagram. You know, if you have a desktop, it's .com. It's Instagram on your apps, on, you know, on your phone. You know those things we use to turn off and on with our fingers, just like we use to turn off computers. Anyways, enough of my sarcasms. The triple threat match between Cody Rhodes, Dalton Castle, and Marty Scurll. I pick Marty Scurll only because I think it'd be great to put the strap on, not just to put the strap on him, but Marty's work. He's got a unique finish. Is that why I want him to win? No. I like him because his personality screams, I came here to wrestle, and I don't care if you boo or cheer me. I'm not here just to make a paycheck. I'm here to make you guys think, to contemplate, what story am I going to tell you? That's what I enjoy about Marty's work, is because it's not insincere. It's not force-fed. Are these shots at WWE? No. It's just, it's not like he's the worker that you go up to and go, yeah, man, you suck. And he's going to act all perturbed about it because he's supposed to play the role of heel. No, Marty's a very eccentric human being, or entity, if you will, that is in Ring of Honor. Could easily work in Japan. It could easily work anywhere. And why is he so up to date with fans? It's because, well, I guess you have to have the right attitude when you're in Ring of Honor. And my pick is Marty Scurll, my friend, because he, you know, he carries the ring and umbrella, and Jack Gallagher did steal that from him as a gimmick in WWE. But we're not talking about stealing gimmicks, dude. If you're going to email me a question, please center it around the subject at hand. So I'm only going to spend a brief amount of time on this. My assessment of Cody Rhodes is, yes, he's proven that he can be a champion. And the fact that if you study these gentlemen, not just their, you know, other career choices and their what they could have been, you could actually enjoy this match. And also, don't fucking pick it apart. Why am I, you know, saying this? Because we already hear that in one language of WWE and CZW and Evolve and everywhere else. There's the elitists and there's the assholes who actually believe, you know, that Cody Rhodes could be coming back to WWE when he just signed a long, long contract extension for Ring of Honor. Read, please. Before you email me questions, do not make me block your ass, because here's the thing. I answer questions accordingly during the show and also after the show. If I don't get to your question during the show, please feel free to message me and say, hey, why didn't you answer my question? And then I'll just answer you promptly with, try doing multitasking during a podcast. It'll do good for the soul. All right. My honest opinion of Cody. He's come a long way. He's very upfront. He knows that he is bomb diggity in Ring of Honor, and he lets fans realize that. I mean, dyeing his hair bleach blonde and also portraying a villain. And, you know, at one point in time, you know, fans, they don't cheer boo anymore. They just cheer for whom they like. That's the wrestling crowd we're dealing with, and you elitists who think otherwise. You elitists as in the ones who know the terminologies, the ones who study what's said in the backstage area. You guys are the ones that crack my ass up more than anything, because it makes wrestling less enjoyable if you have to deal with, you know, people that, oh, well, Cody Rhodes, you know, because of the name. I go, you only know him from WWE. you don't know him as well as you think you do. So my assessment is Marty Scurll, because Unique is my thing that I cheer for. Unique and the ones that can actually speak on the microphone. It's not that Cody can't promo. It's not that Dalton can't promo. It's just I base my liking of a wrestler that they can be the whole package, meaning can they entertain, can they talk on the microphone, and could they carry a championship and give it, you know, give the title some light? Because if you don't give the title and Ring of Honor room to breathe or room to grow, then what are you saying? It's not our job, you know, as fans to be the booker. It's not our job as fans to portray our version of booking, because here's what I say to y'all, and that not everyone is meant to be involved in pro wrestling. That is, because here's what I gotta say. You can't and you shouldn't feel the need to ever feel as a fan that, okay, my opinion is devalued, so therefore I really, you know, I can't have my say in Ring of Honor. No. Have your say. Vocalize your shit. Just be factual with it. The fact that Cody Rhodes, not just him, but Dalton Castle, have years of experience and can give fans not just false finishes, not just, you know, here and there ooh-ah spots or holy shit or this is awesome or this is wrestling. You're going to hear people say this to you all the time. Whenever you see a triple threat match, oh, you think as a fan, oh shit, clusterfuck. Not this one. And I say this nicely. If you have a match that ever screams, oh boy, why the fuck was this person added? And I, like I said, I'm going to get to the whole Big Cass inserting himself in, you know, because he's been cleared, blah, 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 blah. Okay. You know, like I said, it's not my position to say that all bashing is great, but constructive criticism for a company in which you don't work for, does it serve a purpose? What purpose are you serving? I'm going to serve the purpose of just telling it like it is, because that's my job. I'm a broadcast journalist. So I hope you guys like blunt honesty, since I have 40 minutes left to do so. Enter my mind if you fucking dare. Surprise, bitches. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. There's a few things that I'm going to talk to you about when it comes to professional wrestling. And, you know, you see a triple threat match. What's the difference between Cody Rhodes, Dalton Castle, Marty Scurll, Big Cass, Samoa Joe, and Daniel Bryan? Obviously different companies and different outlooks and different aspects and different comparisons. Do you know what I find? That some matches, you know, to be left alone as a duo, not a trio, not a quartet, because some matches should just be left alone in its entirety. The concern in some people's minds was, is WWE going to book? I don't care. Give me a second while I contemplate the next thing that I'm going to say. Okay, I've contemplated long enough. And what I'm going to tell you guys is, Big Cass getting involved with Daniel Bryan and, you know, Samoa Joe, they did okay. There's some spots in the match that made me go, okay, maybe I shouldn't point out that his punch to Samoa Joe in the corner was just See, I can't start thinking like a worker because thing is, I don't work for WWE. But I'm going to tell you what bothered me. The fact that Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe couldn't have a match themselves, why? What was it going to showcase? An actual decent match, you know, for once in WWE. There have been decent matches without big casts. The WWE survived the plague and everything else and under the sun. When it comes to quality, a lot of people complain about quality. Don't care. As long as they got the message across that Samoa Joe is going to be the overall badass in Money in the Bank. And if he wins, great. If he doesn't, okay. That means WWE doesn't need to go back to the drawing board. It just means we as fans need to adjust ourselves for what I like to call the bullshit line that we get fed all the time. If you don't like it, then don't say anything nice. We're not fucking children. The big cast insertion of himself in the match, what was the fucking point? Can someone explain that to me, why we had a Raw-like booking on SmackDown Live? And by booking, I mean the match itself wasn't bad. I just, you know, it's not, oh my God, you know, Samoa Joe won over Daniel Bryan. They're burying him. No. There comes a point in time when fans can say yay or nay, or, you know, I dislike the show, and survive. There also comes a point in time when we can also say exactly how we feel. I didn't like the fact that Cass got inserted into a match in which me, you know, who I thoroughly enjoy watching Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan go at it. They haven't gone on it or gone at it in quite some time. So adding a little flavor to the mix, okay, cool. But at the same time, why? Are you really trying to, you know, give him a match because you felt bad for the poor dude? Or the fact that you place him where you place him because you got to give him something? You could hand him the whole world on his shoulders and have Atlas, you know, have the Atlas-like feel. But the only problem is, Big Cass is not that type of guy. I hate to break it to WWE, but he's no Kevin Nash. He is not Big Show by any stretch of the means. He looks like a tall sophomore. This is the bashing part, because I can't hold it in any longer. Big Cass without Enzo. Gee, kind of looks naked, gimmick-wise. And the fact that Enzo kind of, you guys are claiming that Enzo hindered Big Cass's success. I don't know what else to fucking tell you, man. I really don't. There comes a point is whenever you watch Big Cass's beginning of his career to the words the middle until when he joined Enzo and they were a huge deal in NXT, and then you see what happened after they separated. You say to yourselves, poor guy cannot work by himself. He needs to align himself with somebody that could help emote, you know, whatever his strengths and weaknesses are. Obviously, his weakness is not on the mic. You know, his weakness is on the mic. He needs to have promos written for him because he's that type of guy. But yet people want to rip on Kevin Owens. People want to rip on the people that could actually, they don't have to pick up a mic. They can just say it with, you know, their actions. I'm just saying the one dark fucking spot SmackDown Live's roster is Big Cass. He's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. I've met him a couple of times in person as an autograph. That does not necessarily mean I know the man. But holy fuck, land your fucking strikes. And not just when you're punching a dude in the corner. You know, his offense, I guess, is generic big guy. Big boot, elbow drop that looks like shit. People are going to say, I have never wrestled, so I can't say anything. Guys, what you don't know about good old B-Train is I've stepped in the ring before, and I've managed against Trevor Murdoch. If you don't believe me, look it up on YouTube.com. Look up Libyan Nightmare versus... I feel like a backyard feel to it, but you know what? It's still a wrestling match, and it still does count in the record books. There's no contest between Hassan Payne and Trevor Murdoch. As I chomp down on my dinner, here's what I'm going to tell you. My Discord with Big Cass is the fact, not because Enzo is not with him, it's because, he's proven that he cannot wrestle by himself. He just looks so awkward. You know, with the gears, it's so generic for a big guy, kind of, sort of. He's got a baby face to him, even with a beard, you know, a goatee. He looks like the dude that could be a bodyguard outside, or, you know, a bouncer outside the club that could really fuck you up. The name does fit because he is from New York, Big Cass. By the same token, he's the frontline guy that it just looks so bad when he separated Enzo and him. Surprisingly, Enzo was more successful career-wise, you know, in front of the fans somewhat, but in the back, no. What I'm getting at is, when you have a guy that has potential to turn himself around, I can't even say that without even feeling ashamed, because here's what I'm going to tell you. Watching Cass is like saying chewing on rocks and bleeding through your gums is more pleasurable than watching Big Cass in-ring, on the mic, everything. Give examples of how he struggles on a promo. It seems like he's, you know, written for, but it seems like he stammers upon it. Can that be fixed? That's none of my business. The only thing that bothers, actually, there's a lot of things that bothers me about what they're doing with him. And it's the fact that they put him in the fray of the main event. He's not fucking ready for it. Who are we to be the judges? Okay, we've seen him without fucking Enzo, again, because that marqueed his career. They put a hindrance on him, yes. To be honest with you, Enzo gave that man some life. Because when he's on the mic, I just want to turn it off. I just want to put it on mute. I do have that option as a fan not to listen to him. But you know what the problem is? Putting him in the main event for what fucking reason? What reason?
I'm sorry, moment of silence for Big Cass's, you know, career. Because he's in WWE, he's been, you know, has he even won a championship yet? Has he? He didn't even win an NXT Tag Team Championship because of Trimp. That, you know, is trying to make a rap career. That's the fun part about watching this is SmackDown Live, the highlight reel, basically, of WWE right now. Monday Night Raw has its moments. When it comes to adhering to, oh yeah, you should really watch this show because it was really awesome. That can translate into a lot of things, man. My job as a podcast host is to inform you how I feel and also relate to you the real stuff that's going on. Like I did a SmackDown Live review, a Raw review at one point, because here's my thing. If I relate to you falsely how I feel about somebody or just hold it all in, what good am I doing you guys as listeners? There comes a point when WWE can just
be awesome, be decent. When you have guys like Cass, Mojo, and Daniel Bryan in the match, I got to give my honest opinion. It had its moments, good, bad, and different. It had some basic heat and shine. At the end of the match, it just seems like Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan are being the guides to a young Cass. He looks still green, dude. Even though he's been in the business for, what, since 2013? Or, you know, earlier than that, he still sucks. Just going to say it. He still fucking sucks. And people can form their opinions. Yeah, he still makes money, but he still sucks. Plan accordingly when watching anything wrestling, because you never know. You never freaking know when things can go south when watching not just Big Cass, but anybody. There are a lot of factors into not liking Big Cass. It's because, dude, there could be so many ways to foresee not just how to book him, but how to help him. Can he improve? The answer is yes. Can he work in his generic fucking wrestling moveset? I don't even know what a generic moveset is for a big guy. Oh, yeah, big boot. Send him in the corner, boot wash, talk the crowd, even though Big Cass can't even fucking do that. It's just irritating. You watch him, and like I said, he looks like a fucking tall sophomore. And people are so happy that Enzo got his ass beat at SummerSlam, and they were looking for empathy for Enzo, and that was very hard for some people to do. Characters that get shoved into the fray, then when they're not ready, how do we know they're ready? That's the thing. That's the only thing, guys, that you need to pull back on is how do we know that Big Cass wasn't ready? The boss must have felt that he was. I don't know who the boss is for this whole booking thing. Oh, wait, you know, I could list off names and name drop, but that would make me look like a fool, even though I do know some of the names. If I mention them, I'm going to get scrutiny from some of you. But here's my deal. The reason why I'm sounding off about Big Cass is because, let's be honest, shall we? Did we honestly think that Big Cass is going to be in a title picture? He's not Diesel, even though we're doing a generic Diesel Shawn Michaels with Dolph Ziggler and McIntyre. And is it proving anything useful for fans to just go off and say, okay, yeah, we really want to see this again? It's, you know, okay, when they first came to Raw, they had a huge impact. Huge, huge impact, because McIntyre, right? Great worker, good guy, good concept of how everything works. You know, he's still learning. That's the main thing in wrestling. You're still learning, evolving your character, making it better. How can you evolve Big Cass? The dude, I don't know what you can do. I mean, maybe I'm giving up too easy. I take a step back now and look at things. I try and don't think from a worker's perspective, but that's a little bit, you know, how do you not think, okay, well, Big Cass needs to, it's not my job to be a motivational speaker or, you know, the guy or gal that coaches him and says, you need to do better on promos. You need to do better on your strikes. You need to do better on everything, period. Him running the ropes? Do I care? No, dude. I'm telling you right now, Big Cass, without a certain small pipsqueak by the name of Enzo Amore, I hate to say this, folks, but without Enzo, Cass looks naked gimmick-wise. And does anybody care? No, because we're all on a scale of, I'm watching this now because it seems like some of the things WWE does is forced. It's very fucking forced. And why? Because you take a look at the program as they show you. Monday Night Raw is very uniform. It's very blah sometimes. But I can't tell you enough of how many times I've literally said to myself, there's got to be a way that this dude can fix, you know, repackage, do whatever it takes. It's none of my business. But it is my fucking business because thank you, SmackDown Live, for giving Samoa Joe the opportunity to go to Money in the Bank. That was the qualifying match as the final, last man entered. You know how cool this is going to be to see Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens in the same fucking ring together in a ladder match? Do you know how cool that's going to be? It's going to be badass. Yes, I'm still on the cast tear, but here's the thing. I can't spend most of the majority of the fucking show talking about how Big Cass sucks the big one as a fucking gimmick. Now he sucks the big one talking on the mic. Could someone please hand the big man a fucking quotationary? Because honestly, dude, learn. How in the fuck could you not have succeeded in NXT? How? You obviously made it to main roster because of Enzo and Carmella. Now, Carmella's doing her thing. She's a champion. Enzo was a champion. But, I mean, is that saying anything? Every wrestler, you know, is not determined by if they can ever be champion. It's, can you get your story across to the fans? What story are you trying to tell? If you're in it for fucking fame, as Dr. Pritchard quoted at the, you know, Monster Factory when he was on the panel, you're in it for the wrong fucking reason. You've got... He has got to dig down deep or dig deep somewhere because obviously he's digging him a 6-foot metaphorical hole. I don't know what's worse. The fact that, you know, it's not worse. It's just blunt honesty. The triple threat match, the Ring of Honor versus the triple threat match with Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, and Big Cass. Why was Big Cass inserted upon it? Well, he's been medically cleared, and then he just takes the crutch and beats Samoa Joe. Blimp and Shrimp, okay, I give him credit for that, not really. But that's amazing that he finally fucking came up with an insult that makes him credible. No. Because you know fans will pick at anything. I'm just picking at the fact that without somebody, you know, leading him or being there to make sure that he doesn't flub up, I gotta say, it's highly frustrating because SmackDown Live, within itself, has the roster of Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Asuka, Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, Rusev, Aiden English, okay, even though he doesn't have Simon Gotch with him. You've got the Good Brothers, the New Day is starting to finally become serious. Well, not really. But they're slowly but surely proving why they are more than just a fucking funny gimmick. You can't all be fun and games and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I like wrestling, yay. You got to point out the fucking flaws every once in a while or halt leaks in the fucking starboard because here's what I got to tell you. The ship that is WWE can sometimes, you know, go on the straight and narrow and not even be close to hitting an iceberg. But Raw, me wonder, why would you book the same match in the, you know, not just booking, but why do we see the same match twice? In 2 weeks, we saw Finn Balor versus Braun Strowman. A gauntlet match. Did we see that twice? No, but it's the same fuckers that are involved in the match. Natalia wasn't involved because she's already qualified. Alexa Bliss is not involved because she already qualified. But you did see Mickie James. You did see Bayley. And, of course, you see Sasha, because wherever those two, because they had such a 5-star match at NXT, which it was. Monday Night Raw. Dear God, man. Why it is the way it is? Because it is a show, a wrestling show, if at that. If at that, meaning I don't fucking care if Braun Strowman faces a line of midgets. But if you're going to give us something fucking different, please fucking do. It's not up to me in my jurisdiction to be like, okay, yeah, book this because I want it. I would just merely suggest that you do something different because that is why the ratings, depending upon the hour, they base it off of hour. Trust me. and they divide it by the number of hours, right? So let's say you got 3,626,000, 4 million the next hour, and 5 million the next hour. You're obviously going to have a rating of at least above 3.4, 3.5. With SmackDown Live, I'm amazed that people believe that that is the B show, and that's the message we're trying to send some of our viewers. Because here's the deal, folks. Whenever you look up facts, WWE's ratings, yes, they have dropped, but they've also increased because of Ronda Rousey. And the fact that no one knows who Nia Jax is unless you say one of The Rock's many, many cousins in this business. Former Sports Illustrated model / beautiful. What does this have to do with Thank You SmackDown Live and the cast rant? I'm going to tie that into one. Raw has a bunch of names. That are they being used? Yes. Are they being misused in some people's opinions? Yes. You have Bobby Roode. You have Kevin Owens now. You've got Sami Zayn. This is like Russian roulette with fucking big names. People, I don't believe they're burying Bobby Roode. If they were burying Bobby Roode, then they would make that heir apparent. It's called shut up and fucking, take your medicine and do whatever. Because Monday Night Raw has really become the show that people are kind of, I don't know. Whereas SmackDown Live and NXT are the shows that people can actually get on board with. Because I'll give you examples of how we can get on board with NXT. Nikki Cross, Dakota Kai, Shayna Baszler. Even though it's just the women's division that seems to be getting the attention. Okay, you got Gargano, Ciampa. You've got Orny Lorcan. You've got Heavy Machinery. You've got... We used to have Authors of Pain, but thank you, sir, for trying to mention that. You've got a list of names that are actually utilized and used accordingly as to how the promoter / booker wants them to be utilized and used. It's none of the fans' fucking business. I get it. But why I'm upset with the whole big cast infusion, I don't know what you guys are doing, but forcing the kid to be in a fucking main event spot, that's up to you. He obviously has shown that he sucks at fucking miking. He cannot fucking work a simple match. Simple isn't triple threat. Yeah, triple threat is a clusterfuck when you're a worker. How do I know this? Because I've managed in triple threat matches, practice and actually live. Let me just tell you what the difference is. On an independent level, you actually get a sense of how to gauge the fucking crowd. Cass, he used to, up until, separating him and Enzo was the worst. Yeah, Enzo kind of mouthed off on Twitter towards Cass. That's not what I'm getting at. His in-ring work. Holy fuck balls. I don't know what you guys see in him. Oh, yeah, he's got the height, and he's got the fucking, supposed elbow drop that Randy Savage could do 10 times fucking better if he were alive. God rest your soul, man. Personality. He tries to insult somebody, but I fall asleep halfway fucking listening to him on the microphone. You really want me to get up about Big Cass being in the main event with Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe, two men who helped pave the way for Big Cass? In other words, you had two guardian wrestling angels wrestling against a kid who needed more than just a conscience. He needs a fucking guide, a GPS navigation system, how to work a match. Like I said, I don't like focusing on the negative, but I did find one tidbit. Oh, yes, we're going to work the angle in which, Big Cass is injured, and we're going to have him come in the ring, and you're going to, Daniel Bryan's, they probably went over this in the fucking back. Doc, I'm going to get hit, blah, blah, we go over it. Fans ate it up. Is that all that matters? They I can guarantee you fans are like, why is Cass being put in the main event? Again, I couldn't answer that question, and I stopped asking. Do you know why? Because it's not my job to be like, hey, why do you guys book things the way you book things? Or why do you give us such shitty matches sometimes on Monday Night Raw? Shitty as in, was it so bad where you look and you go, did you come from the backyard or did you actually know how to wrestle? No, it's never that bad. It is bad in the sense when I see a tag match turn into a six-man tag match, turn into an eight-man tag match because, oh, it's build and build and build. You know, these guys have a feud with this guy. It's like putting a fucking child puzzle together sometimes for Raw. And they are the 4 or 5-year-olds that don't know how a piece fits together. You got to show them, okay, this match should have never happened. No, I don't fucking think like that. I think, gee, I've already seen this last week. Why am I seeing it again this week? Can someone fucking explain that to me? Why you think we are like the dude of Men in Black where you can just put a neuralizer in front of us and, oh, you know, erase your memory. Some marks you can fucking do that to. I ain't one of them. I'm the mark that actually sits there and annoys the fuck out of you because then you start calling me a smart. I ain't a fucking smart. What I am is somebody who actually cares that you have a good show. Wrestling used to be the fucking end thing to talk about. In middle school, for me, because I'm 31 years old, that gives you the fucking hint when I was a kid that Attitude Era was just beginning because of WCW, and what WCW did was drive the competition into WWE to allow them to become this huge force. And you didn't have superstars shoved down our throats. It just came organically. It came naturally. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. You know, different people, different modes of thinking. And the way I think is, okay, so people are going to make fun of me on a live fucking show on Monday Night Raw because why? Your show needs ratings anyways. There, I said it. Every week, in and out, week in and week out, WWE puts on a show. Is that why a lot of fans are watching Ring of Honor and CZW and Evolve? And just, it's funny because Money in the Bank still has fucking tickets available. And this is for Chi-Town. Ring of Honor sold out in 30 minutes. And do we know why? Because the name CM Punk was mentioned there. I saved it for the very fucking last portion of this show. CM Punk, a name well known to WWE. Because for a long time, he held the title. Heyman, for giving us the opportunity to allow Lesnar to hold the title for longer than almost a fucking year. I mean, here's the deal. The Universal title is non-existent in WWE. Is that my concern? No. Because as long as he's selling merchandise, then according to one person at Monster Factory Camp, he's like Bruiser Brody, which makes you want to think, okay, I'm not even going to assess that on the air because I have respect for the person that said that, but at the same token, I also disagree in a way. When you only attend 35 fucking shows a year, it's because it's his choice and because he's the one getting paid, not me. I understand that logic, but I also hate it. Because then you're telling the fans, oh, they don't know what they want. Really? We don't know who we're cheering for? Okay. So in other words, we're supposed to be subjected to a big man, 7 feet tall, 6'10", I don't give a fuck. Big Cass is Big Cass. They bill him from the Empire State. Great. Our representation of New York is a bumbling fool who can't mic and sounds like an idiot and sounds like he needs a guide to fucking out a promo. Maybe when Dean Ambrose comes back, you could pair him with him. made a big sense, because that's the Shawn Michaels Diesel combo you guys are looking for. I don't know what the fuck, man. We are not in 1995. Quit booking the shows like that. Sometimes. Some of the modern things you see, like, you would only see Flash Funk do, or you would only see the Smoking Guns do, because you have your high flyers, you have your ground and pounds, you have your comedy gimmicks. You have your I'm a tough guy gimmick. Well, that's not about gimmick for me. It's about, can you entertain? That's my main concern, is can Big Cass entertain without boring the crowd to fucking tears? Like, honestly, bro. You were great with Enzo. You were wonderful. But again, that's not up to me, because that's the past and this is now. But at the same token, like I said, if you're trying to insult somebody, Blimp and Shrimp, okay, good going. That's the first step in fucking heel 101. Get the crowd booing. But if, you know, if he's getting the crowd to react, period, all the booker sees is, okay, he got a reaction. He gauged the crowd and got a fucking reaction. Would you like some gold stars with that? There's no fucking place for him to be in the main event. Why? Can someone... Political views, sharing beliefs, that's one thing. I don't think that has anything to do with that man. So, what was it? Is that Kal-El? Is that how you spell? Okay, you're using a screen name. Kal-El Cabal. I don't think so, dude. And here's why I don't think so. It has nothing to do with him sharing political beliefs with Triple H and the rest of the McMahon family. I don't think so. Even though he's a Trump supporter, I don't fucking care what you are in wrestling, so long as you can fucking entertain me. I don't care if you're gay, lesbian, whatever. Just be real with your audience. And that's all I really am getting at, is if Big Cass, if there's any line for improvement, how he can improve upon, that's on him. If he doesn't see it and the fans do, and he knows it, that's bad. Because then the fans are going to be like, well, you see, this is how it is, and that's how that is, blah, 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 with Big Cass, and this is the reasons why we don't like him. And until he does something stupid in the company, until he does something rhetorical, we're going to have to put up with his ass. By putting up with his ass, I mean, if this is bashing to you, then okay, I guess honesty in wrestling, I guess, means bashing. He ain't the one that I fucking chose to be on SmackDown Live, you're damn right. I'm not fucking saying I'm a booker, I'm just giving it a fan's opinion of him. I may be one of the fans that actually fucking hates him, because here's the deal. It's just as bad as when Enzo would run his mouth for no fucking apparent reason, dredge on a fucking promo, and then just let the crowd figure shit out for themselves. And be like, okay, what kind of clusterfuck is this? Or what kind of fuckery is this? To steal a quote from Amy Winehouse, God rest your soul. But, you know, listening to Cass, it makes me want to go to rehab. But we all say no, no, no. What I'm getting at is there's room for improvement. There's room definitely for him to fucking improve. Otherwise, I'm going to say this nicely. If you can't mic, if you can't work, there's always room to fucking learn. And if you're not willing to learn, okay. That's just, I'm trying to look at things objectively. Because here's the deal, man. The fans in the UK, the fans everywhere have seen him. Japan, Canada, everywhere. If you don't have the network, or, you know, you have access to YouTube, in some countries you don't, but Big Cass is fucking horrible by himself, in my opinion. And to end this, you know, shindig of off the rails and censored, boy, it felt good to find something to pick at for the first time in a long while. You want honest? I'll give you honest. It's pay attention to where you place people, because if you don't, that's why people traipse off to different wrestling organizations to watch, including Ring of Honor, including AEW, New Japan, the 90-second warning, folks. There's a reason why Big Cass needs fucking work. I ain't the one to fucking sit there and sit him down and be like, you need work, but you do. And if people make fun of me for talking in circles about how Big Cass sucks, then you can go fuck yourselves. Because I see potential in the big dude, but I'm not even sure he sees it. So I gotta finish my dinner, folks. Have a good day, night, whatever. I'm out, bitches. Have a nice night. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality.